Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. I have two messages that I'm going to be preaching today and the next week. And it's from Ephesians chapter 6. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, in the New Testament, the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. And the title of these messages is The Armor of God. The Armor of God. This will be part one, and then next week part two. And I want to begin reading here at verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6, where the apostle writes, and this is his final words in this letter to the church at Ephesus. You'll remember in the book of Acts, the apostle had met with the Ephesian elders, the elders of the church. And he was on, Paul was on his way to Rome, and he knew he wouldn't see them again. And he tried to encourage them to continue in the Christian faith, fighting the battle. He told them that he had not failed to preach the whole counsel of God to them, the gospel with all of its particulars and all of its implications, the life of faith, the life of living in the grace of God through Christ Jesus. He told them that false preachers would come in and try to deceive people because they themselves were deceived. But he said that Christ would care for his church and protect his church and preserve his church because he had bought his church, the people of God, the elect of God, the redeemed of the Lord. He had bought them with his own precious blood. And so he told them to be careful and to take care of the church. And here in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, "Finally, my brethren," this is verse 10, "finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Verse 11, "put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil." The wiles, the sly, subtle deceptions of the devil, of Satan. And he says, "for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness," or some translations say wicked spirits, in high places. Now, often in the scripture, the Christian life, the life of the child of God in this wilderness world, the life of the church, the true church, where the gospel is preached, the church which is the pillar and ground of truth, is often compared to a battle. And it's a warfare. And it's a serious battle. It's a serious warfare that the outcome of this warfare is already marked out and sure because the Lord Jesus Christ has already won the victory. There's no possibility that the church can fail and lose these battles. And that refers to each individual member of the church, true believers, sinners saved by grace. We are saved by grace. We are kept by grace. We are empowered by grace. And our weapons are weapons of grace. And we will be finally glorified because Christ has already won the victory. He won that victory on the cross of Calvary when he put away the sins of his people by the sacrifice of himself. He did battle for his people. on that cross, and that's what he was doing. And in paying our sin debt that was imputed to him, charged to him, he wiped the law books clean. There's no sin charged to God's elect. No matter what Satan says, no matter what anyone who is a follower of Satan says, you know, I'm a sinner, but my sins are not charged to me, because God will not charge his elect with sin. He charged our sins to Christ. And Christ took those sins in his own body on the tree, and he satisfied the justice of God by his death as our surety, our substitute, and our redeemer. And having done that, he was the victor. He arose from the dead. That means his death on the cross defeated Satan, defeated sin, defeated the world. And so he arose from the dead, and he ascended on high, seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for his people. So the outcome of this battle is sure and certain, because it's all conditioned on Christ, and he's the victor. And you know, just like when he told his disciples in the book of John, I believe it's chapter 16, he told them, he says, in the world you shall have trouble. You're going to have trouble, tribulation in the world. It's not going to be a bed of roses. It's not going to be an easy life. It's not going to be, as one false preacher says, your best life now. No, sir. You're going to have trouble, he said. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have persecution. You're in a battle while you're in this world. But be of good cheer, he said. I have overcome the world. So we're to look at our victory in Christ. Christ conquered death and hell and the grave. He conquered sin. He conquered Satan. But while we're in this world, it is a battle, and it's a battle that we wage every day of our lives until we die and go to be with the Lord. A warfare. And we have three great enemies. We have a warfare with Satan. And that's what he says here when he talks about being strong in the power of God's might, that you may withstand the wiles of the devil. Satan will persecute God's church. He will persecute. He will seek to, as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 11, he will seek to get the minds of believers off of Christ and onto other things for their assurance. And that's called the deception of Satan, the subtle deception of Satan that corrupts the simplicity that believers have in Christ. And what is that simplicity? It's that single, solitary message that all of my hope, all of my assurance, all of my salvation is in this one person, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, and based upon the accomplishment of his finished work on the cross to bring forth an everlasting righteousness of infinite value that enables God to justify me, but not only to justify me, but to give me life from the dead. And that's, Satan does not want people's minds focused on the Christ of the Bible. He wants your mind focused on yourself to find your assurance and your hope. He wants your mind focused on false Christ, false messiahs, and because they won't do you any good anywhere or in anyone but the true Christ of the Bible, who defeats him. And he knows his day is coming. But in between that now and the time of his day of being cast totally out and defeated finally, never to rise again, he's going to trouble and attack and war against the church. So we have a warfare with Satan. We also have a warfare with the world. Christ told his disciples in John chapter 15, "Marvel not if the world hate you, it hated me before it hated you." He went on to say that they will throw you out of their worship services, their false, idolatrous worship services. He called it the synagogue. And he said they'll do it because they need the time will come when they'll seek to kill you. And true believers in the past, Christians in the past, have gone through the threatenings of death, and some were martyred for the cause of Christ, for the glory of God. And he'll do that, and he said they'll do this because they neither know me nor my Father. They don't know God. They don't know the true Christ. In John chapter 3, he talked about how the light comes into the world, but men love darkness and hate the light because their deeds are evil. So we have the enemy that we're in battle with, the world, the unbelieving, idolatrous, sinful world. And here we are in this world, but not of this world. That is believers. We're sinners saved by grace if you're a true Christian. And then one of the greatest battles that we have to fight in this world is ourselves. And that's called the warfare of the flesh against the spirit. You see, true believers, if you're a true believer, you've been born again by the Spirit. He's given you life from Christ, the resurrection life of Christ. You've been given eyes to see and ears to hear what the world doesn't see and hear. And you have faith in Christ. You've repented of dead works and idolatry. And you're walking in the light of the Spirit. And the Spirit indwells you. Christ indwells you, you could say it that way, by His Spirit and by His Word. But the flesh wars against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And Paul wrote in Galatians 5, he said, that's such a battle that you can't do what you want to do. We want to serve God perfectly. We want to love God perfectly, love our neighbors, ourselves. But we can't because the flesh wars against the Spirit. But thank God that the Spirit wars against the flesh. And so that we can't do what we want to do according to the flesh in sin. And so there's a way, a warfare between within us in the flesh and the spirit. The apostle described that in Romans 7, verses 14 through 25. And he come to this conclusion. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? And he said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. So when he says, that you may withstand the wiles of the devil. This is a warfare. This is a battle. And it's an everyday battle for the true believer. It never lets up. I've had people ask me, says, when does this get easier? It doesn't. But the glory of it and the preciousness of it, this warfare of the flesh and the spirit, this warfare with the world, this warfare with Satan, is an evidence of our salvation, and the battles are already won because Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And so Paul writes, this is what he's talking about. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, the one thing we see about this battle is this. We don't fight this battle in our own strength, in our own might. We fight it in the strength and the might of the Lord God as we look to Christ. And it's like everything else in the walk of faith, this warfare. How do we fight? How do we as true believers, sinners saved by the grace of God, washed in His blood, clothed in His righteousness, how do we fight this war? Where's the power come from? Not from me, not from you, not from any of us. It comes from Christ. And so it's like everything else in the walk of faith, in the warfare, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, realizing that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Dare not trust the sweetest frame. You get up one day, you say, well, I feel good today. I prayed a good prayer and that's my weapon. No, look unto Christ. He's the only righteousness I have. It's His righteousness imputed to me. I'm washed in His blood. I'm clothed in His righteousness. And as long as that's the case, Satan cannot touch me as far as causing me to leave Christ and fall away unto perdition. So we fight in the power of His might, in the strength of the Lord. And where do we find that? We find that in Christ. Where do we find Christ? We find it in His Word. His Word, preaching and teaching and believing and becoming skillful in the Word of God. And I'll show you a passage over here in Revelation chapter 12 that I read quite often, because this is speaking of believers, the churches, and made up of individual believers. It speaks of the warfare that we have with Satan and how it's to be fought. And it's talking about how Christ has defeated Satan, but and the church has fled into the wilderness. That's the world. That's where we are until we go to be with the Lord. And Satan is persecuting the church. And it says in verse 9, this is Revelation 12, it says, the great dragon was cast out. Now, when was he cast? That great dragon is Satan, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Now, when was he cast out? Christ said it at the cross. When Christ died on that cross, Satan was cast out. But in the New Testament times, as we near the second coming of Christ, Satan has been loosed. He was bound up, but then he's been loosed to deceive the whole world. And how does he deceive the whole world? He deceives the whole world by false religion, especially false Christianity. And we need to understand that. And he says here this is Revelation 12 and verse 9, talking about the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. You see, the reason that God's true children are not deceived is because Christ has given them the light. He's brought them from darkness into the light by the power of the Spirit through the preaching of the gospel. That gospel light, which shows us the absolute holiness of God, the righteousness of God, the justice of God. That gospel light that shows us the mercy of God based upon justice satisfied, which is a propitiation through Christ. That gospel light that exposes our sin and depravity and shows us that we have nothing in and of ourselves and can do nothing to recommend ourselves unto God, that if God were to judge us based upon our best efforts to obey Him, we would be damned forever. We're sinners. We need mercy. We need grace. We need a righteousness we cannot produce. And so that gospel light shows us the way of salvation by Christ, who came as my surety, substitute, redeemer, took my place, my sins charged to Him, died on that cross, was buried, and arose again the third day because He satisfied the law. He satisfied justice. He paid my debt, and He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Sin cannot be charged to me. I have His righteousness charged to me. And therefore, I see Him as the Lord my righteousness. He saves me. He keeps me. But look back at Revelation 12, 9. It says, Satan was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And verse 10 says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength. Now, this is talking about Christ. He is our salvation. No other. And it says, He's my strength. And the kingdom of our God. He established God's kingdom and the power of His Christ. Now, you see what is happening here? Satan's attacking. He's deceiving the whole world, but he's attacking the church. And where are we to go to fight Satan? Not to our works, and not to our own strength and power, but the power of His Christ, God's Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now that's what Satan does. He accuses. He points the finger, you might say. He points the finger at me. He says, Lord, this man is a sinner, and I am a sinner. So how am I going to fight Satan? How am I going to come against him and win this battle? Well, look at verse 11 of Revelation 12. And they overcame him, listen to it, by the blood of the Lamb. That's how. They don't overcome him by saying, well, boy, I prayed a great prayer today. Or I preached a great message today. Or I gave some money to charity today. Or I had a good day. And everything seemed to be going well. And I'm a positive thinker. No. You want positive thinking? Here it is. The blood of the Lamb. Satan accuses me of being a sinner, which I am, but the blood of the Lamb has washed away my sins. And it says here, and by the word of their testimony. Now this refers to the gospel, the sword of the Spirit. We're going to be talking about that in the whole armor of God. the Word of God. We preach, we teach, we feed upon, we battle with the Word of God, and it says the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. In other words, they're giving their life in the cause of Christ. And so this is the beginning place of the armor of God. But now go back to our text in Ephesians chapter 6. Now we know this battle is waged not in our own power, not in our own might, but in the power and might of the Lord, looking to Christ, pleading Him. In verse 11 it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. So we're going to be talking next week about the armor of God. And look at verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. And so he says in verse 13, wherefore, for this reason, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day. And I believe that's any day when evil comes and confronts us, and having done all, having thereof all, to stand. Now what's he telling us? He's telling us this battle is not a physical battle. This battle is a spiritual battle. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And look at verse 3. The apostle speaking to the church at Corinth here. And he writes, for though, verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 10, for though we walk after the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, walking after the flesh there is not the same as he spoke of walking after the flesh in Romans 8. Walking after the flesh in Romans 8 means in unbelief, means walking in sin. Walking after the flesh, walking in the flesh here means in this physical body, in this physical world. Just physical things. So though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We're physical. We are in a physical world. But our warfare is not physical. Our warfare is spiritual. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's the word of God, the armor of God we're going to talk about. And then verse 5, here's the battlefield. Casting down imaginations, thoughts, and reasonings, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's the battle. It's not physical. False Christianity, in the history of man, false Christianity has taken up physical arms and done battle with what they called the heathen. But that was not biblical. It was not Christian at all. The crusade, that was a sham, false religion. The Spanish Inquisition trying to take physical torture to get a confession out of people. That's not biblical. Never was. Even in the Old Testament. When you talk about Israel under the Old Covenant and the battles they fought, that was physical, but that was not Christianity. You see, and I don't have time to explain all that, but I'm just telling you, Christ never gave His church a mandate to take up physical arms in order to try to promote the gospel or the kingdom of God. We can take up physical arms to defend ourselves, but not in a way to say we're going to conquer the world physically and bring them to Christianity. No, our battle is a spiritual battle. And so look back in Ephesians chapter 6. Let me just read through some of this in Ephesians chapter 6, talking about the whole armor of God. He says, verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, there's the armor of God, and I'm going to go through each one of these next week. But you understand how in this warfare that we do not fight in our own power, our own mind. We look to Christ. We lean upon Him. We plead His blood and His righteousness. We come forth with the gospel that reveals His glory, His power, His might. Satan cannot overcome Him. Satan can do us. Satan could chew us up and spit us out, but not our Lord. And we're in Him if you're a believer. Again, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And so this is a spiritual battle, not in our own power, not in our own might. It's already won, but God, for His glory, has left us here to fight this battle in His name, by His power, through Christ, and it won't end until we go to be with Him. We fight against Satan, we fight against the world, we fight against ourselves, the flesh. And this battle is spiritual. It is not physical at all. We have no mandate, no reason, no justification for taking up physical arms to try to convert people. All right? Our weapons, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly, but they're spiritual. And it's mainly the Word of God. But each piece of this armor that he's talking about. Do you know what? It's a gift from God. There's nothing listed here that we have naturally. There's nothing listed here that we're born with. We're born in sin. We fell in Adam, and we're born in sin, spiritually dead. And if we have any of these blessings of God's grace, any of these of this armor, any of these weapons, it's the product of the grace of God in the salvation of sinners based upon the righteousness of Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.